Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. More about that at stewardship.com. And while you're there, check out this new resource called Chris Recommends. You'll find articles by me and by other writers, and you can find out more about Financial Peace University or endorse local providers and our great books. Again, click on Chris Recommends at stewardship.com. The phone lines are open. Call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. We've got Ray on the phone from St. Joseph. Ray, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm just curious to get some information as much as I can involving this concept of reverse mortgages. I don't know exactly how many ways they are supposed to help people. I assume my wife and I are looking at one of these, and we've been sold a bill of goods by the sellers that this is the right way to go for people in our position. And that position is maybe we got into our retirement years without doing all of the things that Dave tells everybody to do, like paying off your mortgage early and driving a two-year-old car and all those wonderful things that work. But we didn't do them, so what about us? You know, is a reverse mortgage of any value to somebody in our position?
What's your current mortgage, Ray?
Like $250,000.
Okay. And what's that current payment?
$1,121 a month.
And what's the retirement income you're working on? What are you living on?
Well, we live on Social Security. I have some IRAs, not as much as I should have, but we get about $60,000 out of our Social Security and our IRAs, and I do a part-time job still, believe it or not.
What's the value of the home?
We hope $450,000. We had it appraised in 2009, and that's what it appraised for. Hopefully it's still worth that. Maybe a little more, but we don't know for sure.
Right, right. And any emotional ties to the property? Lived there for a long time? Family memories?
No, not really. 10-year-old house. We had it built. It's on the river in St. Joe. And our kids are, well, they like to come and visit, but I don't think anybody has any ideas about wanting to hang onto this house after we're out of the picture.
Well, one thing you have done great is you've got $200,000 in equity. So I would downsize your home. I would move out. The reverse mortgage is not a good product. The best way to get out of a hole, well, is to stop digging. And a reverse mortgage is just digging further into debt and taking on more debt that you're not really planning on paying off. It's just delaying debt. So I don't like it. They do have misleading advertising, and it appears to be appealing, but they've got crazy fees. It's just a very, very poor product. And just based on Ecclesiastes 5:5, says it's better to not make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. That's why I would make that decision to not do a reverse mortgage. But I would downsize your home, and you very well could have no mortgage within the next couple months, next 2 or 3 months, if you downsize.
That's certainly been a consideration of ours, and what we're trying to do is figure out what is the best option.
I think that's a really good one, and you get the complete mortgage debt out of your life. So I love it. And, you know, we've got our endorsed local providers, our real estate division. If you need some help with that, you can just go to stewardship.com, and they can walk you through your options.
We'll certainly put that on the docket, and I thank you very much for your help.
Next, we have Louise on the phone calling in from Indiana. Louise, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
I am very thankful. How can I serve you?
My question is, how can we, my husband and I, negotiate this seemingly untenable situation? For over 10 years, I've been encouraging my husband to become a provider for our family and find a job with an income to sustain us. And when we discuss this issue, our communications break down entirely, and it has worn a deep painful path in our marriage. My husband, his debilitating fear of change has really shaken our marriage to the core. And at times I've become emotionally disconnected from him due to his inability to respond to the issue. And the issue is, I feel and I have felt for over 10 years that it is my God-given vocation to be home raising our 6 children. And their ages are 10 months to 13 years old, and one of them is on the autism spectrum.
So tell me, what does one of these discussions look like? Like just a brief version of just the overall feel of these discussions.
At first, they were complete breakdowns, sleeping in separate areas, very bad. And over time, I've had to soften and step back and pray. And now they're more, he's listening. I'm not saying a lot, but yet he still is suspended in his attempts to find another job.
What does he do?
He's an electrical engineer technology person who repairs circuit boards and machinery electronics.
The tone in your voice speaks to frustration. And I'm not going to tell you it's justified or not justified. Based on what you've told me, I can see the I can understand the frustration. Let me give you a little bit of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
The average income in America is $48,600 a year. What does he make?
He makes $47,000.
Okay. So his ability to provide isn't necessarily an income issue. It might be an expense issue, which comes along with 6 children and 1 special needs. And really a choice to have 6 children and 1 spouse stay at home. Those are all, they're not bad decisions. They're just decisions that just need to be managed. His income actually is very near the average. And I would think that in that section of Indiana, it's not necessarily, it's not that crazy of a low income. If I were to give you some advice based on your tone, I would say less focus on job and income, those words, job and income, and I would focus more on dreams and visions for the future and more inspiring and motivating, possibly even help him in his current role somehow. That's a difficult industry to help him in as a stay-at-home mom. But you really need to get him from feeling like he has to he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritually, the way I would tell you to do that is found in Romans 4:17. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. And that might be confusing at first to hear that verse. The tail end of that verse says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. When you call things into being, that phrase is referring to an instance where Paul had just cited when God changed Abram's name to Abraham. And the name Abram means high father, and the name Abraham means father of a multitude. The Lord changed Abram's name. Don't miss this. The Lord changed Abram's name to Abraham 1 year before the birth of Isaac, before he had any children. So what he did was he confessed that Abraham was the father of a multitude before it happened, before it happened. And this illustrates God's faith. Now, you're obviously not God, but God says things are so before there is a physical proof that they are so. The same thing was done in creation. God spoke everything into existence, and then it was so. He spoke light into existence, and then 4 days later created the source for that light to come from. And God has given us the power to create with faith-filled words. We see that in Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I totally get, Luis, that you are frustrated. But the core need for a man is to feel respected. And you're going to get further faster by speaking life into him, speaking things that are not even there yet. and saying, you are this, you are that. There's tons of power in the tongue. And I'm just telling you, if you want the results that you want, you're going to get further faster by speaking life into him. And I know this is ultimately his, I'm not saying this is your fault. If he's got a capacity to steward skills in his life to make $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year, and he's not leveraging those, that is a stewardship issue on his part. He's not leveraging his skills and his talents. So I'm not blaming you. I'm just trying to help you with some good ways to get the results that you're looking for, and that is to speak into his life. I know my wife has done this for me.
Yeah.
Many of our listeners know the past that I came from. And I know that I know that I know the responsibility and the impact that I have now as a professional and as a minister is because my wife has called this stuff out on me for years. Mm. And so it's hard for me to talk about this kind of stuff because it means so much to me. But I encourage you, give it some time. Don't do it just one time, but for maybe a month, maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months, and see what happens to his spirit. He will be inspired to go out there and make you proud because you believe in him. And that's the advice that I would give. And as always, a reminder that you can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com, chrisonair@stewardship.com, or call me at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Give us a call. This email comes in from Hector. He says, I have a rental property in San Antonio, Texas. The house is worth $175,000 and has no mortgage. I also have my primary residence I just bought in April of 15 with a 30-year loan at 3.7% fixed rate. My loan balance is $172,000. What should I do? Well, Hector, what I would do is I would sell the rental and I would pay off your primary. I would sell off the $175,000 that you're probably getting $1,200 to $1,500 a month on. You'd probably get about a $160 net on that sale, and I would apply that towards my primary residence. And then you're probably going to have to come up with another $12,000 or so to pay off your primary. But what that's going to allow you to do, and the reason why I would do that, it's going to save you $1,200 to $1,500 on your mortgage payment that you're paying every month. So it's going to be a wash when it comes to that. You're going to lose $1,200 to $1,500 in rental income, but you're going to not have to pay $1,200 to $1,500 in primary mortgage costs. But in addition to that, you're going to save right around $110,000 in interest payments over the next 30 years. You break that down, it's about $300 a month. So it's as if you're going to be getting $300 more a month. Or you could say it'd be like getting a renter for $1,800 a month instead of $1,500 a month. It's a $300 net per month. And you have no debt in your life. How beautiful is that? So, Hector, that's what I would do, my friend.
Well, folks, we are talking about living smart with our money. Now is the perfect time to start living smart with your money. You just need a plan that works. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy to follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class or as a home study or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
We appreciate you joining us for Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Our next caller is Amadi calling in from Compton, California. Amadi, how are you doing?
I am doing just fine. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm very, very thankful. How can I help you today?
I am in $30,000 of debt, and I wanted to know, is debt consolidation or refinancing a good option for me? As I do have, I have an FHA loan on my house, and Well, I have PMI, and a lot of people have been calling me saying, we can get rid of your PMI and you don't have to refinance. You can basically convert from a FHA to a conventional loan. And I want to be wise in this. I want to be a good steward of the funds that I do have. And so I'm saying that I'm spending money that I don't necessarily have to with the PMI that I have. I want to know what is a good option for me to stop paying that and reduce the mortgage and
okay.
And continue to get out of debt.
Yeah. There's a question about consolidation of consumer debt and another question about refinancing some mortgage debt?
Yes, the consumer debt is a student loan and then credit cards, totaling about $30,000.
Okay.
And so I've been doing the debt snowball thing, and I'm knocking things down. And I honestly recently started like probably in April. So, but it's going well. It's going well. And so now I want to know about also, because if I can reduce the PMI, that's more money I can put towards my debt and knock it down even faster.
The consolidation of the consumer debt, I would say you don't need to do that. You're doing well on your own.
Okay.
And anything they're going to do for you, you could do for yourself.
Gotcha.
So write consolidation down on a piece of paper, put a line through it, and put elimination below it. You're worried about elimination, not consolidation. So, you know, consolidating, if you want to consolidate it and go from 2 to 1 or 3 to 2, then remove one by paying it off. So,
gotcha.
What you're craving is you're craving order and organization. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 says, but all things should be done decently and in order. So it's completely fine that you are wanting that, but you can do that on your own. Now, when it comes to the refi, if you can avoid the PMI, that's great. And try to look into that. See if you can go to the conventional instead of the FHA. Just make sure. This is the big, you know, make sure they're not tacking on a ton of fees. It's not going to cost you $10,000 to do it.
Right.
And you do a cost analysis. If they're going to charge you $3,000 for the conversion and origination fees and all those kind of things, just make sure that you're going to be paying on the property long enough and your payments are going to be less, you know, $200 or $300 less a month, and that's going to pay off in the end. If it's not going to pay off, don't do it. But the best way to get out of your mortgage too is not this refi. I mean, it might just make mathematical sense, but to get out of your mortgage is to do the same thing you're doing with your consumer debt and pay the mess out of it.
Gotcha. Because currently I am renting the house out and I've affected my debt. So that's helping me with my debt and things like that. And I'm just trying to see all the options because I know there's wisdom in, okay, because this company called me. I didn't call them. And so I'm always kind of leery of that, you know, if I'm not looking for the help and people are offering help.
Yeah, that's wise. I like your intuition there. Just out of curiosity, what is the loan to value? What's the value of the home and what do you owe?
The value of the home is $200,000. I owe, I'm looking at a statement now, I believe just over $180,000 is what I owe.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be right. I mean, it's going to be right on that fence as far as PMI on what FHA allows and what conventional allows, because typically it's 20% loan to value or 80%. I mean, 20% paid off, and some FHA programs will allow. Conventional will allow you to do 10%. That's probably what they're talking about because you just hit the 10% mark. So
Gotcha. Yeah,
that's the reason why is because you've paid off 20 out of 200, so you're right at that 10% mark. So that's what's happening. But I think you investigate it. If it's going to only save you $100 a month, but they're going to tack on $10,000 on the end of your account, the end of your mortgage, then that's crazy. So
yeah, that's not worth it.
Yeah, so just do the cost analysis, and if it works, it works. But keep paying off that debt. You're doing great.
Thank you very much. That is very helpful.
All right, thank you, Amadi. All right, that was cool. I love seeing that. I love, you know, that intuition just, I don't know. And is this person calling for my benefit or is this person calling to take advantage of a possible opportunity to take me for a ride? So I love the fact that, you know, his antenna went up. I love that. All right. We have Sylvia calling in from Sacramento. Sylvia, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, good. How can I help you?
I was actually calling because we are on baby step number one, and we have owe on a car that we owe more than what it's worth. And we really need the car, but we can't afford to pay it off in the time that is suggested. Dave Ramsey mentions if you can't pay it off within the 22 months, then we should probably get rid of it. to get out of debt fastest. So I was just wondering what we should do. We do have a second car, but it's on its last leg.
Do you have any other debt?
Yeah, we have about, I want to say, around 15 grand in credit cards and loans.
What's the car worth?
A private sale, it says 13.
And what do you owe?
A 15.4.
Okay. And do you have any money in savings?
None.
All right. Now, are you guys living on a budget?
We are.
Okay. What does that budget process look like for you guys?
We sit down before it hits the account, and we decide where it's going to go from that point. Because he's the only one working. We're a family of five, so it kind of fluctuates. It's never the same.
Okay.
So we have to visit it every month.
Okay.
Twice a month.
All right. Well, you know, what I would do is I would sell the car, but you're going to have to get a loan to make the difference. So you'd get a loan for, looks like roughly around $3,400, which should be a loan for the $2,400 to cover the gap between what you owe and what it's worth. And then another $1,000 for $1,000 beater is what we call them. And it's just enough to get around point A to point B. So it'd be about a $3,400 loan. And I would just probably check first with your bank or some kind of credit union. I would start there. And then you now owe $3,400 instead of owing $15,400. And so you really just made a $8,000 decision in the favorable direction. So that's what I would do. I think the bigger issue is your risky position that you're in. You've got to get out of debt as soon as possible, which this obviously will help with that. And then you got to get some money in that savings account so that you don't go any further into debt. So, but that's what I would do. Get a little small loan to cover the difference. And I think the total of you said 15,000 total in debt. You might be able to tackle that. What's your income?
About 35, between 35 and 40 a year. But we also have a newborn and 11-month-old, so that's my only concern with riding a feeder. If like something happens mm-hmm. while driving, I'm stuck with three little ones under five.
Yeah. Do you have some kind of AAA or roadside that would make sure that
no,
you stay safe?
We have to invest in that if we got a $1,000 vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like $100 a year to make sure you stay safe. Rather than right okay. now, you're paying $15,000 a year to stay safe.
Right.
So it's a big difference. You know, and then a lot of times you can just have roadside on your insurance. It's like for $1 a month, you can tack on $1 a month onto your insurance cost and have some kind of roadside so you can stay safe. But yeah, I would definitely, safety is important.
Okay. So do you suggest selling it on our own or maybe taking it to like CarMax and letting them sell it for us?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that for our listeners as well. You definitely want to sell it yourself. You're going to get okay. for that dollar amount of a car, you're probably going to get an extra $2,000 if you do it yourself. The trade-in value, okay. they got to make sure they can resell it and make a profit, so they're not going to give you as much. It's not that they're bad people, but now they yeah. have some kind of inventory they weren't really planning on having, so they got to make some profit off of it. So sell it yourself and take a little bit more energy, but you know, it'll take you maybe 2 or 3 hours more time to do it that way. But for $2,000, it's pretty good dollars per hour.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Sylvia.
Have a great day.
That wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to listen to the show and to check out stewardship.com. And while you're at stewardship.com, remember, check out our new resource called Chris Recommends. You'll find articles by me. You'll find articles by other writers. And you can find out more about Financial Peace University or our endorsed local providers. And of course, all of our life-changing books. And for you podcast listeners, would you consider leaving a review on iTunes? Stay connected with me at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. It's been an honor to serve you. Today, we've been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, let's continue to manage His blessings, His way, and for His glory. God bless you.